الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا؟ إذ أوى الفتية إلى الكهف فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا. فضربنا على آذانهم في الكهف سنين عددا، ثم بعثناهم لنعلم أي الحزبين أحصى لما لبثوا أمدا. وبعد، this auspicious day of Jumu'ah, we praise and thank Allah Azza wa Jal from the bottom of our hearts for the most precious gift of Iman, the perfect, compassionate, pure and wise teachings of the Deen of Islam, and that Allah Ta'ala has afforded us this great ni'mah and favor of being in the Ummah of Allah's Habib, the most beloved in Allah's creation, our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who enjoys many rights over us. Muhabbat and love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that supersedes the love we have for any of the creation, including ourselves. And very importantly, to bring alive the auspicious ways and mannerisms, the sunan, the sunnahs of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in all aspects of our lives. That is one of the means of being guaranteed to remain on hidayat and guidance. So in this period, where many of us may have more free time available than normal, we try and fill it with as much good as possible. Free time is also a ni'mah of Allah Ta'ala that should be channeled and utilized correctly. So we try and make a concerted effort to create the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our hearts, our children, our families, and also to practically improve on our practice on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In it is being secured on hidayat and guidance at a time when there are many challenges on spirituality. We know just last night the announcement of the extension of the lockdown by a further 2 weeks. But a mu'min is one who in every situation derives the maximum benefit. We have amazing incidents in history of this great ummah where people had made selfless sacrifices and contributions under very trying circumstances. Many an alim, while incarcerated in jail for preserving and establishing haqq, memorize the Quran Azim. In our own country, Tuwan Guru Qadi Abdullah bin Abdul Salam was incarcerated in Robben Island for opposing oppression of colonialism for 13 years from the year of 1780 until 1793. And in those years, he compiled at least one, and according to some of his descendants, more than that, up to 5 Mushafs, Quran Sharif, written by hand. It was also there that he compiled that kitab that went on to become the handbook of the Maktab system of preserving Iman in the Cape, Ma'rifatul Islami wal Iman. We find similarly many a great book and kitab was written while they were incarcerated. Alhamdulillah, we have much more ni'mas in comparison to those, so we can turn every situation into a positive. But crucially important that more than anything else, to have this worry and concern of the protection of our Iman, of our Deen of Islam, of our spirituality, of the Deen of Islam as conveyed by Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, and very trustworthily conveyed heart to heart, generation to generation, until it has come to us by our pious senior elders of Deen. Extremely important when many efforts are being made of taking Muslims towards a liberal, a modernist, a watered-down form of Islam, that we preserve our Iman and Islam. And one of those means that we have and pertinent to this day of Jumu'ah, this great surah, Surah Al-Kahf. Reading the surah on Jumu'ahs has been encouraged in the hadith as a means of forgiveness of sins of the past week, a special nur and light until the following Jumu'ah, a special nur and light between oneself and the Kaaba Sharif, the spiritual link and connection to Iman, and a special nur and light that goes from one's feet extending to the heavens, that will be the means of lightening the pathways of darknesses, especially at the Pul Sirat and other junctures on the day of Qiyamah. Also regarding the surah, we have been encouraged to read regularly, especially in these times, if we can, daily, to make an effort to memorize and also to read regularly the first and last 10 verses of this great surah. That is a great means of the protection of Iman, and especially when the greatest challenge of Iman against Iman will emerge, Dajjal, then this surah is one of the guaranteed means of protection. And as events internationally are progressing, we see more and more as day goes on, the groundwork, the preparation for Dajjal and his emergence, Allahu A'lam, as to when it will transpire, but ever more so important, we make a concerted effort to protect our Iman, our Ruhaniyat, our spirituality. And Allah Ta'ala has kept great power in this surah, Surah Al-Kahf. Some important lessons that we take from this surah, and on the point of its relation with the protection of Iman, one of the great ulama of recent times, Hazrat Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadawi rahimahullah, has compiled a great kitab. It is translated into English, Faith versus Materialism, which is actually a tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf, but shows that how at all times when there is the tussle between faith and materialism, it may seem that at some point materialism seems on the ascendancy, but it is always faith, Iman, and obedience to Allah Ta'ala that ultimately prevails in the long term in this dunya as well as in Akhirah. So the story, very briefly, behind the revelation of the surah, the disbelievers in Makkah Mukarramah sent two of the emissaries, Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt, as well as An-Nadhar ibn al-Harith, to go all the way to Madinah Munawwara and ask the Jewish scholars whom they knew were versed with the previous scriptures, that we have this man making this claim of being the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. How do we ascertain if he is truthful or a pretender? The scholars of the Torah gave specific directive that pose three questions. If he gives a satisfactory answer, then indeed he is a messenger of Allah. And if not, then he is a pretender. And they came back and with the leaders went to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and posed these three questions that tell us about the incident of those youngsters who had left their homes and sought refuge in a cave, in other words, for protection of Iman. For indeed it was an amazing incident. Tell us about the man who had traveled the entire east to west and reigned supreme, referring to Dhul-Qarnayn, and tell us about the ruh within the human. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I will give you an answer tomorrow, omitted to say inshallah, and for that reason wahi was, revelation was delayed for 15 days. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, first and foremost, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ, that never say about anything in the future that this will happen or will do so and so, except that you always attach it to the will of Allah and make the habit of saying inshallah. And Allah Ta'ala revealed in this surah as well as verses of Surah Bani Israel the answer to these three questions that prove beyond doubt that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is indeed the messenger of Allah. For people in Makkah did not know anything about these stories, and therefore Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioning it in the form of these ayat is clear-cut proof that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is indeed the messenger of Allah Ta'ala. So various stories and incidents in the surah, but the one, the core incident about after which the surah derives its name, Al-Kahf, the sleepers of the cave, a very brief overview of the story and this incident. There was a city, Afsus or Ephesus, ruled by a tyrannical king called Taqiyanus, who was an idol worshipper and compelled his nation into idol worshipping. They once congregated and went outside of the city to commemorate and pay homage to the idols and slaughter animals in the names of the idols. when a group of youngsters, most probably seven of them, one after the other, realize that you cannot take stone, carve it, and start to worship it as a deity and slaughter animals in its name. So one of them, unhappy at the worship of the nation, separated himself and took refuge under a tree. And similarly, one after the other, seven of them congregated without having planned this, without having known. Eventually, when they got together, one said, took the courage that let us mention the reason. All of us are here for a reason. Why are we here? One took the courage to speak up that I cannot tolerate my nation worshiping other than the one great being who has created everything in existence. And in disgust, I have come under this tree. And each one mentioned that that is the reason that they had congregated. So the real fine link between hearts and the real unifier of hearts is Iman in Allah Ta'ala and obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. They would then congregate in secret to worship only the one Allah Ta'ala, but word got out. Eventually they were summoned to the king, the tyrannical king. They were princes, they were of high-ranking families and lineage. Their robes were taken off, deprived of their luxuries. They were given respite to revert to the religion of their nation of idol worshipping, otherwise their lives would be taken. Allah Ta'ala facilitated this means of protection, and all of them said, "Fa'u ila al-kahf." Allah inspired them that take refuge in a cave and go there for the protection of your iman. The greatest folly that can ever come to you is that they compel you into disbelief and that you ascribe a partner to Allah Ta'ala. You will then be very far from the truth. So for the protection of the iman, sacrifice all the temporary luxuries of this world and took refuge in a cave. Allah Ta'ala made amazing means for their protection. A dog had accompanied them. We know usually that a dog is only permissible to keep for security reasons, but Allah Ta'ala speaks about the dog on account of the company of the pious. So a mu'min, very, very important, one of the main means of protection of our iman in these times is to link and associate ourselves to the pious senior mashayikh and ulama, those whose objective is the akhirah, who live and practice the sunnah externally, internally, do not compromise the deen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages us about the company of which kind of a person should we hold steadfastly. Three signs. That person that your mere sight of him inspires you to remember Allah Ta'ala. Secondly, the actions of that person remind you and encourage you for the akhirat. And thirdly, the statements of that person increases you in your beneficial knowledge, knowledge that links you closer to Allah Ta'ala. So they took refuge in the cave. Allah made miraculous means for their protection. They went into a deep sleep and slumber in such a position the cave was that they were not destroyed, that they were guided, guarded and protected divinely by Allah Ta'ala. A lengthy sleep, 309 lunar years, 300 solar years. Eventually when they were awoken from that long sleep, again Allah makes amazing means. By that time, there were many changes politically in the city that they were originally from, Afsus or Ephesus. By this time, the king who was now ruling, his name was Baydusis. The king and the majority of people were believers in the one Allah Ta'ala. And these incidents happened in the time after Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu was salam. So these youngsters and then the nation at the time of their awakening were those who adhered to the original teachings of the remnants of the teachings of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu was salam, worshipping only the one Allah Ta'ala. This king, on the other hand, was a very pious person, the one who was ruling at the time that they had woken up. And by the way, when they had woken up, they realized the need for food and they deputed one of their companions. The name of these seven have been given in the books of Tafsir as Muksalmina, Tamlikha, Martunas, Sanusas, Sarinusas, Dhunawas, Ka'astat Yunus. So they deputed one of them, most likely Tamlikha, giving him a silver coin that they had brought with them and told him to go to the city to bring for them food and provisions that they were desperately in need of, obviously in a state of hunger. But here, very, very important, they said, فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا. One directive they gave him is وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ, thinking that they were in the minority and that their lives were in danger. So ensure that you try and conceal yourself as best as possible. For if they were to find out about us, they would stone us to death. That was the threat of leaving and forsaking the old religion, or even worse than that, they would compel us to revert to the religion of disobedience to Allah Ta'ala. But they also gave him the directive specifically, Azka Ta'aman, that when bringing food, which was a necessity at the time, ensure more than anything else that it is pure. It is not meat slaughtered in the names of idols. So extremely important that a mu'min at all times is aware, is conscious of my intake, that it is pure, that it is halal. My earnings are halal. The actual food that I consume has no doubt in it whatsoever. It is pure, it is halal. The kind of intake there is will determine the kind of actions that emanate from such a body. Eventually, when they take that ancient coin, words get around in the bazaar. Eventually, he is taken to the king at the time, but by now, this is a believing king. And in fact, this king had read in the archives about those seven youngsters who had escaped. The tyrannical king had put their names so that they may be arrested on sight. But here, this king revered them. They were by now heroes, as those who had ran away for the protection of belief in one Allah Azza wa Jal only. This king at the same time faced a dilemma in his nation, that though they were believers, there was a sect of them who doubted, how will it be possible for Allah to bring the dead back to life on the day of Qiyamah in body and in soul? So this king went into rags, sat on a heap of ash, and humbly made dua to Allah Ta'ala to make means for his nation to understand. Allah Ta'ala accepts the duas of this king Baydusis. By now the city is called Tarsus. And Allah Ta'ala accepted his dua in the form of these youngsters. He is aware of them. He goes with a retinue of his people to meet these pious people at the cave to take their duas. And thereafter, most likely, Allah Ta'ala then gave them a natural death. Varying historical, geographical accounts of where exactly this is. Some put it in the areas around Palestine, Aqaba. Some mention incidents and places in and around Granada in Spain, etc. That is not the important. The important part is to derive the lesson of these stories, that we have these youth, these youngsters, when faced with this great challenge, materialism or iman and spirituality and everlasting success of the hereafter. And for the great choice they have made, Allah praises them so much so that the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on a weekly basis, we read about their lives, we praise them. Our Jumu'ah becomes enlightened by their mention. So very important with the many challenges that we have on iman. We know the lockdown is there, but here a perfect opportunity to link ourselves, entrench, establish our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. So we use this opportunity, our salah, the quality of our salah, increase in salawat and durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Month of Ramadan is on our doorstep. Further our relationship with the Quran Azim, as well as sincere tawbah and istighfar. Conditions come about because of our own amal and actions. So istighfar and tawbah, and make a firm resolution, intention, most importantly to leave haram and sin, and Allah Ta'ala will bring similar favorable circumstances. We take the opportunity of saying Jazakumullah khairan to the community as always for generously opening up their hearts to the contribution. Very important, the food hampers and other necessities, inshallah, that is intention to convey to those in abject and dire poverty in our country. So alhamdulillah, the collection, the response has been, mashallah, phenomenal. The collection will continuously take place throughout this weekend, will close up on Monday night, inshallah. So ourselves, let us encourage others as well to contribute as generously as possible. The details have been sent out. Also, with the extended lockdown, we know this will affect Ramadan. Inshallah, within the circumstances, within the frame of the law, these lessons, etc., advices, maybe tilawat of Quran Kareem, etc., the Ramadan directives as far as Taraweeh, etc., are concerned, inshallah, that will be conveyed as there is more clarity, inshallah ta'ala. But at the least, alhamdulillah, our community is blessed with a number of huffaz. At the minimal, at least, inshallah, huffaz will be encouraged, the minimal, to make Taraweeh within their homes. And in this way, alhamdulillah, at the least, we all yearn and desire for the masjid and make dua that Allah Ta'ala opens up these means. But khatmat that would take place at least in the homes of the huffaz, inshallah, that will be encouraged. But specific directives will be communicated thereafter. Allahu Azza wa Jal make this these circumstances easy on one and all in the community. Also very important, they may be elderly, they may be vulnerable in our community. Wherever we can extend a helping hand, if there is any need to assist in shopping for groceries, etc., then inshallah, by all means, let us use this within the framework of the law to extend as much help as possible. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.